And we will sing songs of praise to our Lord. So, Lord, here we come. This is your family. We are so grateful you welcome us into your presence. We thank you for the robes of righteousness that you give to each and every one of us. So we put on those robes, Lord, and we rush into your presence. And your arms are open, and you know us by name. Hallelujah. So as we sing songs of praise, Lord, be blessed by the praises that you hear from us, and come, inhabit the praises that we bring up to you. Pour your Spirit out upon this place. Cleanse us now from all unrighteousness. You, O Lord, we worship. You alone we praise. Be glorified in your house. Oh, how we pray. You be lifted up, and you be blessed. So hear our songs of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. We read of the resurrection of Jesus Christ 2 weeks ago on Resurrection Sunday. And then last week, of course, we had the Gideons. So now I'm led to kind of continue the study of those events and the meaning of what followed, the discovery that the body of Jesus was not found in the tomb where he was just laid 3 days before. His followers came looking for him, beginning with some of the faithful women, and they did not know where he was. He then appeared to Mary, who stayed by the tomb, wondering what this mystery meant. We read of Mary weeping by the tomb, wondering what has happened to her Lord and her Savior. So please turn to John chapter 20. We'll start in verse 10. Let us pray. And then let's come into that scene as we read it again and see her finally seeing Jesus and then speaking to Jesus. So Larry, please pray over the word today for me, please, and pray over myself as well.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to be here, worship you, and study your word. I pray that you'll bless Randy, bless the words that you have given him, the verses, that they come from you, send the Holy Spirit to dwell upon him, and what he says will come from you, not from Randy. And I pray that you will open our ears, touch them, that we can hear what we need to hear. Praise and glorify you. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. John chapter 20, starting in verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener. Well, let me stop there first. We'll just stop there. She did not realize it was Jesus. So, are you there in that scene? Come into that scene with me. Mary's weeping by the tomb where Jesus was laid just 3 days ago, but his body's not there. As she looks in, she sees two angels seated where Jesus' body had been. And they ask her, "Why are you crying?" And she replied, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." Her only way of explaining the absence of Jesus' body was that someone had to take the body away. I mean, what else? What else could have happened? She then turns around and sees a person standing near her. The word states that it was Jesus, but she did not realize it was him. Perhaps her eyes were so full of tears, she could barely even see. And then the man speaks to her. We read on in verse 15 through 18. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. This person we know to be Jesus speaks to Mary. But she still doesn't recognize his voice or see him clearly. And then we read Jesus said to her, Mary. When Jesus speaks her name, Mary recognizes the voice of her shepherd, her Lord. She believes now Jesus is alive. She's gone one-on-one with Jesus, and now she believes. She goes back to the disciples and tells them that Jesus is alive. And she tells them all that he said to her. She believes. And now she knows. Well, we read on. In verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. For if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So here we are, very same day of his resurrection in the evening, and Jesus now appears to his disciples. The women told them, they talked to him, but they didn't believe him. They didn't believe the women at all. So he came and just stood among them, passing through locked doors, and simply says, Peace be with you. Then he showed them his hands and his feet. The disciples saw him and heard his voice. They heard the voice of their shepherd, their Lord, and now they believe. In Luke 24, it is written that he asked for food and ate it in front of them. They had their personal one-on-one moment with Jesus Christ, and they believe. They know. But someone was missing from the called disciples. So we read on, verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where those nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Those to whom Jesus first appeared also doubted at first. They didn't believe the women. It was just too unbelievable. They all saw how Jesus was beaten and scourged and his side was pierced. He was lifeless, dead, and carried to a tomb. Seeing him alive just 3 days later is just impossible to believe. So Jesus had to speak with the others. He had to eat food with the others. They had to see him in a human body that still showed the scars of his crucifixion and clearly see that he was tangible, not transparent, not a ghost, even though he passed through doors, locked doors. And so Thomas is of that same state of unbelief that the others were in because he has not seen the evidence that they've seen. It does seem strange to me anyway that he could not believe his brothers or his sisters who have been with Jesus from the very beginning. But he just couldn't grasp the concept of a physical resurrection from such a brutal death. So Jesus addressed him upon his second appearance to the disciples in the same house. We read he appears to the disciples again a week later in the very same room. And again, as in the last time, the doors were locked and Jesus came into their presence and stood among them and he spoke, "Peace be with you." And then Jesus, as we read, says to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Can you imagine? Can you go in that room with me like a fly on the wall? Jesus appears again in the very same way he did a week before, and he looks at Thomas and he tells him, "Put his hand in his side. Put your hand in my side." You think he did it? I don't know. I imagine upon seeing Jesus and his wounds, hearing his voice, which he knew very well, and seeing his solid, not ghostly body, he believed immediately. And he did not need to do as he said he would have to do in order to believe. And so then Thomas exclaims in verse 28, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is an important point here. Jesus here fully affirms that he is God. If Jesus were not God, he just said, "My Lord and my God." If Jesus were not God in the flesh, if he were simply a man, he would have had to have rebuffed Thomas and directed him back to the Father and said, "No, no, no, like the angels always did. Don't bow to me." But he didn't do that. He accepted this act of worship from Thomas, proving that he is God. They perhaps remember that Jesus told them a little while before this that "I and my Father are one." He told Philip, "If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father." Now all of his teachings are starting to make sense to the disciples and to all the other followers. Now Thomas has gone one-on-one with Jesus, and now he believes. Mary went one-on-one. The 11 went one-on-one. Now Thomas has gone one-on-one. For he has seen Jesus for himself. He's heard his voice, the voice of his shepherd, his Lord, his Savior. He heard the voice call his name. They're starting to put it all together. Are you and I able to believe too? They believe. Remember in Luke 18, Jesus told us to receive the kingdom like a little child. He said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a little child will never enter it." We have to come with that childlike faith. Like the little children in our church that look up to mom and dad and believe they are God. They have the answer to everything. They have everything. We need to set aside our adult minds that want to use reason to explain God and his ways and just believe. Like a little child. Jesus said it over and over. Repent and believe. Here we hear, "Stop doubting and believe." And then Jesus says these great words to Thomas to encourage all of us. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Many of us here are those who have not seen what the apostles have, and we believe. We believe because of these eyewitness accounts and because God, by his Spirit, has revealed to each and every one of us that it is true. He is true. He is truth. By God's grace, we don't need to see it as they have. We too have gone one-on-one with Jesus. Otherwise, we would not have that knowledge. We would not just believe. We would believe and we would know. And we do. So let me show you why we believe. Romans 6:23 tells us, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." The cost of our obedience to God is death. Goes all the way back to the garden. If you disobey me and you eat from that tree, death is assured. And death came. But God provided for that cost now to be paid by Jesus Christ so that we, because of His love for us and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we can be rescued now from death. John 1, 4, 9, and 10 tells us, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And further on in John 4, we read, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God and lives in Him, and He, God lives in Him and He in God. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. We know it. Beyond believing, we know it. And we rely on it, the Word says. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. So how do we then acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God? Romans 10, starting in verse 9. Please turn to Romans chapter 10. Starting in verse 9, Romans 10, it says, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. You are justified by your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of all who come to Him. And justified here means that God sees you through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and your faith in Jesus. So He sees you justified, just as if I'd. I know you guys know this, but maybe you guys don't know this. Justified is just as if I'd never sinned. I'm not guilty of any disobedience in the eyes of our Father through the sacrifice of Christ. And the word saved, that's a nice little Christian word. What does it mean? It means you're healed. It means you're made whole. It means you're restored. The Greek word is risozo, and it means be restored to the family of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tell us, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith and not this not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one may boast. Grace, we use that word a lot. Grace. Grace is God's favor upon us. God's love is a gift, and salvation is a gift. All we have to do is accept that free gift of love and salvation. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Sometimes I think, you know, people get it all wrong. They get Christianity all wrong. It's not God waiting to smack you one more time because you just blew it again. No, He sent His Son to save the world, not to condemn it. So we just have that. The point is, what do you guys think? Does anyone here want that free gift? His love, His salvation, His forgiveness of sin, and restoration into His favor? I love walking in the favor of God. All God requires of anyone is to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, meaning that you know that. You agree that He died to restore you into God's favor, and that you agree and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead so that we can be seen by God the Father. It's just as if I'd never sinned. I'm not guilty. Now, we don't look at ourselves that way, but that's because of our own sinfulness. We must know God looks at us that way. Anyone wants to go one-on-one with Jesus, this is the perfect time to do that. Wants to believe and accept that gift. But for those of us here who know Jesus as their Savior already, God wants you to grasp hold of what Jesus' death and resurrection really means. for you, for each and every one of us. So if you still have Romans open, turn back to Romans 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. This is an awesome gift. Our old selves died on the cross with Jesus so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 11 says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. So does that mean we won't ever sin again if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior? No. No. No, but we're no longer slaves to sin. We no longer owe the debt of sin, which is what we just read or mentioned earlier. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. We still sin, but the price is paid. And all we have to do is confess our sin. All we got to do is keep our books current with our Lord by knowing our need. We look at John 1. This is a great verse. If you want to turn there, 1 John chapter 1, 8 and 9. Many of you already know this one. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I pray that commonly, Lord. I confess my sin unto you. Purify me from all unrighteousness. This is sometimes commonly called the Bible's get-out-of-jail-free card. This is get-out-of-jail-free. Just come to him. He's always waiting, like the dad of the prodigal son, waiting, looking for the one to return. Arms are open, welcoming him. God is faithful, and he is just, and he will forgive us our sins, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. I really believe the main thing you need to do is believe that's true, and always say, Lord, okay, I get it. I know I'm not perfect, but in your eyes, I am. So I come to you and say, forgive me my sinfulness and purify me. So we're going to go to the communion table today. I want you to think on these things. If you're just not convinced of this resurrection story yet, well, I would suggest go one-on-one with Jesus. Go one-on-one with Jesus now and just ask him, reveal the truth to me. Jesus, reveal. Are you real? Reveal himself. Say, reveal yourself to me. Just as he did Mary. Just as he did Thomas. He's here, and he's listening. If you know in your heart, though, that Jesus Christ is risen, he's your Savior, if you believe, then please remember this. He died to pay our sin debt in full. We must quit lingering over the fact that we're still sinners. We must fix our eyes upon Jesus, as we are told in Hebrews 12, 2, and understand what's written in 1 John chapter 2. Just a little over from where we just were, verses 1 and 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anybody does, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. It's called a paraclete. He's given us a paraclete. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. You think you did something that he didn't cover? Sins of the whole world. So it's not like we've got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and always be right. It's not works. It's done. Now we love one another. We read God's word. We pray to him because we know we believe. And we love him because he first loved us. So let us pray and prepare our hearts to go one-on-one with Jesus right now.